Nail Nuts Garage. Now, who's let the cow in the garage? Jeez, you guys, what's going on around here? Hey, everybody, this is the Fey Driver, and you are tuned into the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage this Friday evening. So, hello, everybody. It looks like there's quite a few people back. If you're just joining us, you can go to pride48.com, and you can log in, go to the chat room there and log in, sign up. There's a whole bunch of people in the chat room. We are going to talk today to a couple of guests who are waiting for me in the wings. So we're going to talk about purchasing some cars today. And I don't know what else we'll talk about. Oh, we're going to ask some questions about driving like maniacs, I think. So let me introduce some of the people I've got with me tonight. Mark, Laughing Buddha, how are you doing tonight?
Fabulous. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. So you've been working quite hard with the drive, hey? And are you finally done that now?
We ended yesterday. However, we did not make our goal.
So, oh.
Yeah, womp womp.
Oh, too bad.
But that's okay. Sometimes, you know, you just have to fail before you're successful. So.
Right. And that's, do you want to tell us who that's for? It's with a public radio station.
Sure.
But
I work in membership in Minnesota Public Radio, and we just concluded our February member drive yesterday. So that's where I work.
Right. You know, my mom was a radio star too, you know that?
No, it must run in the family.
I guess so, eh? Yeah, she used to go run. She grew up in basically Manitoba and Saskatchewan, and my grandfather was a real church guy, musician, and they would travel to the radio stations around their area of Saskatchewan and play like the gospel hours and stuff like that. So my mom would sing and my grandfather would play a steel guitar or some other kind of musical instrument, and that's what they did.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So you're right, I must be bitten by the radio bug. Jay, anyway, enough about me. I mean, who's here? They're not here to talk about me or me listen to me talk about myself. Hey, I've got Jay here as well. Jay the Haunt Cub, who is...
Hello.
Hi, Jay. Our daddy, our little scruffy daddy. And comic book aficionado. What's been going on in your comic book life, Jay?
Oh, it's always busy, you know.
New books every week, so...
Did I hear that you were behind 3 weeks or something? Did you just get a new influx of comic books or something?
No, I pretty much keep up with I pretty much make a weekly trip to my local shop every Wednesday, so I'm not, I mean, it takes me a couple days to go through them all and stuff, but I'm not behind as far as buying issues or anything.
Right. Hey, people in the chat room, am I coming through okay? I was hearing a bit of an echo before. I just want to make sure if everyone is hearing us all fine. And maybe you can add me a little message into the chat room. Hey, Laughing Buddha, I'm going to give you the responsibility to keep your eye on the chat room if I can thrust that upon you.
Absolutely.
And
no one in front of me.
And if you see anything that looks interesting, just holler out. Okay, let me... I still have to get Bridget on the line, but I'm going to introduce Peter first, Apollonius. How are you doing today, Peter?
I am well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What's been going on in your life for the last week?
I had a good day today. It was a Miata day. The temperature got up to about 67, and it was clear. Also, I'm dealing with Puppy being dramatic.
Oh.
So if you hear weird caterwauling in the background, it's because she was trying to eat the mouse cord, so I had to put her in the kitchen.
Okay. So, all right.
She's very upset that she's not next to me, so I apologize to her and those listening.
All right. Well, let me get Bridget in on the call here, and we'll start the show.
Hello.
Hello, Bridget. Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Thank you.
Everybody, this is Bridget from the Emergency Pants podcast.
Emergency-pants.net.
And Bridget is joining us all the way from Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how's the weather in Chicago today?
Unseasonably warm.
Isn't that nice? Because Peter, who is in Atlanta, was just saying he was having a Miata day. And do you want to talk a little bit more about that? What does that mean exactly, a Miata day?
It means it was nice enough that I could drive the Miata with the top down.
Oh, how lovely. It was pouring rain here in my neck of the woods, if anybody cares. But that didn't stop me from washing a car.
Oh, nice. That's dedication.
They grow them smart in Canada.
Well, the rainwater helps keep the car wet. I think it's the most efficient way to wash a car, really, because you can wash the whole car while it stays wet, and you don't have to rinse, because you know you don't want soap to dry on your car, which is why we rinse it off, right? But if it's constantly wet, you don't have to rinse. You can wash the whole car, zip, boom, bam, done.
I'll second that is the best way to wash a car. However, it is the most embarrassing. It's usually easier to just do it in the shade.
Yeah, you think those boneheads out there washing their cars in the rain are dumb, but we got it all going on down here, you know.
You guys wash your cars?
Oh my God, don't say that.
As long as you're not waxing in the rain.
Hey, Bridget, your cow was in my garage at the beginning of the show here now.
My cow? What?
Yeah, on your show you said you were doing reports until the cows came home.
I know, isn't it awful?
So I want you to get your cow out of my bloody garage, please.
It's a Pontiac, so it's not really a cow.
Oh. Hey, is it going any better there at work? You were sounding a little stressed out.
It's still about the same, but, you know, it's Friday, so I'm done now.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's Friday, you see. So, hey, everybody, should we go through who's drinking what? I'll start. How about I start?
Okay.
Since it is Friday, we're all home now, or we've all just stopped by the garage and gone to the beer to get a fridge. For those of you who aren't having beer, I'm having vodka with cranberry juice and a bit of tonic water with a lime squish into it.
Did you say you went to the beer to get a fridge?
Well, what if I did?
Just
check. This is not the first fridge I've been to the beer, you know. Jay, what are you drinking, perchance?
I am actually drinking water.
Hmm. And I suspect, yeah. Peter, what are you drinking?
Water.
Oh, you guys. Is Friday not the end of the week for you? Do you have to work tomorrow?
If I'm feeling sassy, I'll have a tab. But I do have to do the charity thing tomorrow at work, so.
Peter, are you a Christian really at heart, really?
God, I hope not.
You seem so sweet.
God, I hope not.
You know, we don't get this sweetness end of you from your blog, I don't think. I think you have a more sinister streak.
I think 5 or 6 different podcasters decide they hate me over Twitter, so I must do something.
Are you a Midwesterner?
No. I was born in Maryland and keep slowly moving south. I figure I'll end up in Key West.
I was going to say, I could understand if you're a Midwesterner.
Hey, I'm a Midwesterner, and right now I've got a double vodka and gin martini.
Hear, hear. Bridget? Have you been able to organize a drink when you came flying in the door?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
This is me all natural, baby.
All right. Okay, well, I guess we should get to some of the business of the show. I guess we shouldn't be just sitting around, blathering on, chitty-chatting. Okay, so this I have a question here about what kind of car should I buy, and it's from Dennis in Colorado Springs, and he sent me a couple of emails. I'll just read a little bit about what Dennis is interested in. He would like either a Hyundai Elantra, a Toyota Corolla, or a Honda Civic. I'm guessing these are all new. We're going to assume they're new cars because he indicates that he usually keeps his cars for a really long time, like 10 years or more. He's had his last car. So he's going to buy a new car and keep it for a really long time, which I personally feel is a brilliant idea. Let me just go through his email. we'll look at all these cars individually in a moment. He wants 40 miles per gallon. He wants to spend $20,000, and he just drives from point A to point B. He thinks the Elantra is his first choice, and Toyota the number two. Talks about some trouble with other cars. Drives in cold weather. Let's see. This is all not relevant. Sorry to do. He wants us to make sure he knows he's a gay man, that he doesn't want to do a lot of maintenance on his car. So.
Stereotype.
And he likes the bells and whistles like traction control and anti-lock brakes, which is fine. Okay, so I went through and did a really quick thing. Peter, do you want to talk about these? Can we start with the Elantra?
Sure.
Do you want to talk about the Elantra? Tell us, do you have anything up on it there?
Yes. My recommendation, I'd say the Hyundai Elantra as a first choice is probably the best one. I always go to cars.com. They have a really nice research tool where you can compare things side by side. You can also option out the car exactly the way you want it, and it will give you the price that the dealer paid for it and the price that they tend to be selling for, which is a smart price, and the price that they tend to MSRP. So literally, if you go into the dealer with that printed out and kind of go, you can figure out how much they are either A, trying to rip you off, or B, how much of a deal they're trying to give you. The other nice thing is Hyundai's come with a 10-year warranty. So if he wants to keep the car forever and he hates doing maintenance, it's literally one of those things where 7 years down the line, if it breaks in some horrible way, he can just call them up and they'll tow it in and fix it and not charge him anything.
Okay, so just hang on a sec now. How much is this Hyundai Elantra? Because it seems like it's the most expensive of the three cars.
Actually, the most expensive would be the Civic. If you got the high mileage one or the really fast one, the SI or the hybrid, they tend to run up around $23,000 to $26,000. The Hyundai Elantra fully topped out is about $21,000 and actually starts at the cheapest at $15,345. And the Corolla is... The Corolla, like, top of the line is only 18 grand, but it starts at 16. And also the Elantra Limited, the really nice one, it actually comes with heated seats in all four seats. So backseat, people in the back seat get heated seats. And that's probably one of the things that's really nice in a cold climate, especially if you're taking more than two people. My coworker has a Hyundai Elantra, and I've really been impressed with the fit and finish and the quality. And also, I just feel like Hyundai's goal right now is to try and eat Toyota's lunch, and they're doing a really good job of it. So
okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. Hyundai, now, in my opinion, or in the last 10 years, the quality of Hyundai has not been as good as the quality of, say, Toyota or Honda. Do you feel Hyundai's quality has suddenly gotten tremendously better?
Yes. Well... Let me give you the method to my madness. So right around 2004, Hyundai was sick of everyone saying, well, I guess really more around 2001, Hyundai got so sick of everyone saying their cars were cheap and would fall apart after 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they went to their engineers and said, I am, like, make something that's pretty much bulletproof. Like, they forget to change the oil for 2 years and the engine still won't fall apart. And then they went to their accountants and said, okay, we're going to put a really long warranty on our cars, so pack tons of money away in CDs so that, like, around 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, we can have a bucket load of cash to make sure that if our cars do fall apart, we can afford it. And both of them did their job. So Hyundais are holding up a hell of a lot better than they ever were. And I would say... they're on par with the Japanese makes. And the reason that Hyundai has started putting out all these really interesting cars like the Genesis and the Genesis Coupe and the Equus is because all of the money came back from the CDs, and they just had a ton of money to throw into R&D and market expansion. So the truth of the matter is, even if like the cars are slightly lower quality than the Corolla and the Civic, you've got a 10-year warranty on it, so if something does break, you don't have to pay to fix it. With the Corolla and the Civic, you're going to be taking a gamble on it. Also, they've been, the Corolla and the Civic have been hit really hard. They're kind of more expensive right now just because the earthquake meant that there were a lot of supplier issues, so they couldn't crank them out as fast as they were. So there's a limited supply. So you're going to be fighting for a smaller number of cars.
Okay, now let's see those guys get in on this. Does anybody else on the panel have anything they'd like to say about the Hyundai Elantra?
Yeah, I would. that would certainly be my first choice of the three of those.
I mean, I do like the electronics and everything, and I know it's available with navigation and things like that. And the Civic is as well. I don't think the Corolla is, but I think I'm just pretty much adding to what's already been said, but Hyundai seems to have made giant leaps in the last couple of years. I have a Honda now, and it's taken me through a lot, but I've read too many sort of blah things about the newest Civic, so that would not be at the top of my list. I have rented the last generation Elantra, which was kind of a cute car, and actually drove much nicer than I expected. When I was away, you know, using it, but I have not been in the new one. I know it's basically like a miniature Sonata as far as styling and a lot of the same content. So that would be, I think it's a good choice.
Right. And any other comments from the gallery?
I think the Hyundai has really put together a really slick marketing package. And I have a friend of mine who's a flight controller, and she was in the market for a new car, and she ended up with a Hyundai. And she spent hours and hours doing research. And, you know, I think the way that they package their car, especially with this, with the warranty package, I think is really smart. And it's really going to increase their market share coming down the line, especially with some of the problems that the American car makers have had, especially with like GM and you know, the bailout that we had back in 2008.
Right. Okay, Peter, can you just give us the numbers on that car once again for the Hyundai Elantra? Just if you have a baseline number for it, how much is that car?
The research I'm showing is an MSRP between $15,345 and $20,595. The invoice prices range from about $15,000 to $20,000. So you should probably, if you get one absolutely decked out to the gills with like, you know, probably a $3,000 technology package, you can probably get it for about $22,000. And if you're willing to, you know, get the limited but not all the fancy stuff, you can probably get it for more like $20,000. And if you get one that's absolutely bare bones, you can probably get it for 15 flat.
So. Okay, so let's compare that to the Toyota then. What about the good old reliable Toyota Corolla? Do you have any stats on how much those are running for? I think I have.
They start out around 16, and I think they can get up to about 20 if you start getting like the sunroof and the like fancy interior package and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
19 to 20. But they won't have like the interior heated seats, and they'll be kind of bland. They also, I guess every car in this segment is kind of like a miniature version of its grandparent, of its parent. So
mm-hmm.
They've been doing that across the board. The Accent looks like the Elantra, looks like the Sonata, looks like the Azera. So
what are you saying? All these cars all look the same?
If you get, it's very easy to tell a Hyundai from a Toyota, but it's hard to tell a Hyundai from another Hyundai.
Yeah, I get you.
They kind of are just, they basically let them bake for varying amounts of time and just get bigger or smaller.
Mm-hmm. So, Ford is kind of doing the same thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, I want to locate, but let's discuss this a little bit, you guys. What about the fact that Toyota, don't you think Toyota has a good product that's, you know, it's been proven over such a long period of time? It's been the same, it hasn't changed. The Toyota Corolla has not changed in 20 years, I don't think.
I unfortunately think they're where GM was in the 80s. They're rolling on a reputation of being the best, and they are so big they can't really innovate quickly. So they're, and all of their cars are kind of like the, oh, I guess they're like the Beretta and the, gosh, what was that other one called?
Corsica.
The Corsica, the Lumina, all those things of the day.
Right.
Where now they're just kind of cranking them out on autopilot and...
But don't, okay, now just a minute. let me ask the other people on the panel. Don't you think there's... isn't there some consistency, though? I mean, it's the same car. Are you not paying... I mean, this Corolla is cheaper than the Elantra. The car's been working for 20 years, and... for the money, I don't know. I think the Toyota's a better deal, and I just
it's
want
total Dollsville, though.
Yeah.
Well, are you talking about complacency or, you know, competency? I mean, Toyota certainly has a good product, but have they really become kind of complacent? You know, here's this car; it's been around forever, and you know what? We're just gonna continue on. I think Hyundai has you know, their ability to be innovative is pretty evident in their product line.
Yeah.
Can I say something as a total non-car person?
Yes.
We've test driven a bunch of different cars, and the Hyundai, no matter what model it is incredibly uncomfortable. Does that matter at all?
Absolutely.
It's every time we test drive a Hyundai, it always just, it's like sitting on a cement block for me. So
you think
I don't
it's
know.
The ride, or is it the seats, or
the actual seats? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I think comfort is really important. I have a friend of mine who's taller than average, and he really wanted to fit in this car that he was test driving, but he just didn't. So, of course, he didn't buy it. So, yes, if it's not comfortable for you, definitely, you know, this is an investment that you're going to be making for a number of years. And, you know, comfort does play a big part in that. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And we value non-car people's opinions on this show because... well, some of us are absolute freaks when it comes to cars, right? I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about Peter, but...
nobody else. Just, you know, other people, not you.
No, not me. As soon as I'm finished with you guys, I have to go dry off my car. It got wet in the rain, so... but anyway, yes, we like to hear from people. I like to hear how people use their cars. It's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to grill you a little bit, Bridget. What car do you drive a lot?
I have a Pontiac Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, let's see, I got it in 1993, but I think it's a 1994.
Uh-huh.
Because I got it right at the end of the year.
Oh, good.
Good
for you. Smart buying. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But
you're, just a minute, you're a carpooler though, right?
I am a carpooler.
Right.
Do
you share, like, does one of you drive one week and the other the next, or how does your carpooling work?
We try to do, like, every other day, and lately it's been just 2 days a week. So, you know, we'll drive... I get to work from home 1 day a week.
Oh, right.
So, 1 day a week, I'll drive... my friend, and 1 day a week she'll drive me, and then the rest of the week we'll drive ourselves, and then we have 1 day where we work from home. So it's not a lot right now for carpooling, but previous to that, it was pretty much every day carpooling with a friend of mine, and she had an SUV, so it was definitely helpful for her. My car doesn't get terrible gas mileage. It's fine, but right now where I drive about, I want to say it's 40 miles each way. So by the fourth day, I have to refill my tank. So it's kind of a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a good car. I miss the fact that Pontiac isn't around anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so now this is interesting to me, this carpooling thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there like a... Do you hate carpooling with this person, or is it okay? Like,
no, she's been a friend of mine for years and years and years. So it's great, actually.
And how long do you have to spend with this person?
It's about an hour each way.
Hmm.
So every once in a while, we might run out of stuff to talk about, but then she just turns on the radio, so it's okay. And actually, I stitch a lot of times when I'm the passenger.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do my stitching, and you know, so when she's the passenger, she might get a call from her son or something like that, so it works out.
So yeah, actually, let's just talk about stitching, just in case people don't know. I don't know how you could not know Bridget. But she's from the Emergency Pants podcast with Shane, and she's a stitcher. She's on from the Stitching and Junk podcast with Jamie, and so she's all over the web. She's got Etsy stores and all kinds of stuff going on.
All kinds of junk, exactly. Yeah, I stitch dirty words onto fabric. That's what my claim to fame is. So I don't know a lot about cars, but if you want cunt stitched on fabric, I can do that for you.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
You should plug your Flickr or your Etsy store.
My Etsy store would be bfrank, BEEFRANCK .etsy.com. Also, I do Tumblr most often now, so it's bfrank, BEEFRANCK .tumblr.com. So, yeah. It's been pretty interesting. It's kind of fun.
Okay, I guess we should get back. Let's talk about this third.
Yes, talk about cars.
Let's talk about the third car, the Honda Civic. Peter, I'll hand it to you. What? How much are these Honda Civics going for, and why shouldn't we buy one?
You make it sound so final. The Civics are going from, well, $15,000 to $26,000, pretty much. At least in the U.S., but they have a very hopped up model, which has a 2-liter that makes about 201 horsepower. Oh, and they upped it to a 2.4-liter. Oh my. So they're marketing themselves as the sporty brand. They also have a hybrid version, which tends to get better mileage, but is going to still cost a little bit more for the mileage aspect. Civics are nice.
Right.
But I wouldn't get one.
Civics
also have really good resale value. So if you get it and it lasts forever, wonderful. If you get it and don't like it after 3 or 4 years, you'll be able to get a lot out of what you put into it. So.
Right. Does anybody here drive a Honda product?
I do.
Yeah, a Honda Accord, did you say?
Yeah, 2005.
Mm-hmm. Are you happy with it? That's 10 years old now, or 8 years old now.
Yeah, and I think I've got 130,000, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've been very happy with it. I really have not had any major issues at all.
Right.
It's my first four-door, actually, of any car. I've always driven either hatchbacks or things like that, and it's my first four-door.
Why have you been drawn to hatchbacks?
I don't know. I just always like the styling and the utility and stuff of a hatch.
I've always had one other than this one that wasn't a hatch, and that was it.
Right, you're Skyping out on us a little bit.
Sorry. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Okay. A little. Well, actually, just a little back off on the mic if you can.
How's that?
Thanks. Yeah, good, thanks. Why did you move to a four-door then to your Honda?
I really wanted the Accord for something. When I went shopping for a car this time, that was the kind of the car I was looking at. And I wasn't really crazy about the styling then of the two doors. I like the coupes now. But I just thought it'd be, you know, kind of a nice change. I thought I might get more use out of having two more doors.
Right. Laughing Buddha, do you have any comments about the Honda Civic?
You know, I don't have a lot of experience with Honda, so I'm going to defer to the rest of the panel.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask everybody what they think Dennis in Colorado Springs should choose. Do you think he should take the Elantra, the Toyota Corolla, or the Honda Accord? Jay, what do you think?
Elantra, for sure.
For what reason?
Well, for me, it's the best combination of value, mileage, styling, and content as far as electronics and goodies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Laughing Buddha?
I'm going to say the Elantra.
Interesting. Bridget?
What are the choices again?
You have you can have a blue one, a red one, or a gray one.
The blue one.
Okay. So, a blue Hyundai Elantra. Peter, who do you think he should get?
I think he should test drive all three of them and get whichever one fits his butt best, honestly.
Can I go with that answer? I want to go with that answer.
Yeah,
and like, also expand your search. Like, also take a look at...
No, don't say that. No, that's forbidden. I cannot... Do not do that.
Definitely Focus, for sure.
No, oh, come on. No, he's got... You can't point someone to a different car. He's got his he's got his eye. He's sold on this Elantra. I'm sure he's sold on the Elantra. You know, the funny thing is, I've been looking at these cars the last week or so... when I knew we were going to be talking about them, and I like that Elantra too, and I didn't think I'd like a Hyundai, but I'm impressed by that Elantra.
You need to check out the Genesis, because it's the rear-wheel drive humongous flagship. That is Equus, and you're the one who's driving around in a 7 Series talking about how much he loves it. You would probably like the Equus too. It is also a big rear-wheel drive boat.
They just freshened the Equus, didn't they? Or redid it?
Probably. The thing I like about the Equus...
I'm thinking of the... what's the one that's just between the two? Is it the Alera or something? Or...
They just refreshed the Azera, which is kind of an Avalon killer.
Yeah.
The Azera is the Avalon killer. The Genesis Coupe, Genesis, and Equus are all rear-wheel drive, and they're going after, like, the Lexus, and they're going after the big luxury sedan market. And I think the best summary that someone ever said of it is... If you get in a Genesis and then get in a 5 Series, you can tell where the Genesis kind of cheaped out, like where there's plastic instead of leather, that sort of thing. But if you get in a Genesis and then get in an Accord V6, like, fully loaded, then the Accord V6 fully loaded will feel like a cheap, tinny piece of crap. So it's sort of like, this is kind of the market they're going for, people who...
All right. Enough of that. We're not talking about the Equus. We're talking about the Elantra, the Corolla, or the Accord. All right.
Just happen easily here.
Bridget, did you have something to say? You were trying to get a word in edgewise.
I was going to say, you said that you liked the Hyundai, but did you ever test drive one?
Me? No.
Yeah.
I've not.
Well, then how can you say that you like it?
I like the look of it. It looks okay. I see them drive by. They look okay.
It is seriously like sitting down on a concrete block when you sit on the seats for those. So that's all I have to say about it. So I don't really have, you know, something to recommend. All I can say is that was incredibly uncomfortable. So there all right. you go.
Do you think that would differ with leather versus fabric? Do you think that would differ with leather versus fabric, or you think just...
I think it was leather.
Oh, was it?
Jim was looking for the heated seats.
Okay.
So I think it was leather.
It was probably just the bolstering, and it sucked. Sometimes cars just don't fit your butt, and Bridget's butt says no to Hyundai.
I have got a massive butt, so that might be the problem right there. I will not lie to you.
I think Bridget is, you know, the princess in the pea.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, Mark.
That might be the case. So, okay, you guys move on.
Bridget, you said you were test driving cars, so did you test drive other vehicles that fit your butt better?
The Lexus was awesome.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, what about
what about other GM cars? Like, did you test drive the Impala and the Malibu? I'm guessing they were a lot better.
I want to say yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. The Hyundai, all the Hyundais were just kind of uncomfortable.
Okay.
So, yeah. Every time we've ever test driven a Hyundai, it's been uncomfortable.
You wanted to love it, but it was just like, I'm in a small torture chamber. Why?
They're so cute. They're adorable. I really like them. I think that the styling is really pretty, but I sit in the seat and it's all of a sudden like, yeah, it's awful.
That's much more important when you're going to be driving it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I'm looking at the chat room right now, there's a Hyundai Santa Fe 2012 ad on the banner in the chat room on Pride 48.
Oh, I mean, Hyundai is awesome. What?
Yeah, interesting, eh? So, hey, I just want to mention a couple of things here. Scotty, the little Aussie battler, who's in the chat room but will not join us tonight. I've asked him. He won't be able to join us. But he had a little trouble with his Toyota Hilux. That throttle spring we talked about last week finally gave out on him, and he got stuck on the side of the road. So I want to say, sorry, Scotty, that we couldn't help you fix your car in time. But anyway, we're just a bunch of hacks. Also, I don't know if people follow or know RT Cruiser, but he had quite a rough week this week. His house was broken into, and it looked like it was ransacked. And now they've stolen his PT Cruiser. So I guess they took his keys when they broke into his house and they came back and just drove away with his PT Cruiser.
Are you kidding me?
So
that's
horrible. The poor guy has lost his house has been burglarized and destroyed. His car is now stolen, and so he's not having the best of weeks. So I think he's in the chat room, and I just want to send my heart out to the poor guy. It's horrible.
Me too. That's awful.
Yeah. Has anyone ever had a car stolen on them?
No, thank God.
No, but I did have a scooter stolen on me.
Oh, no, really? What happened?
It was at a time when I was living in an apartment, and it was getting to be fall, and I had decided one more weekend, and then I'm going to store it.
Oh, no.
And it happened on a Sunday night. Monday morning, I came down to unlock the scooter and drive it into work, and it wasn't there. It's an awful feeling. It really
it's
is.
It's horrible, isn't it? Yeah.
My dad had a car stolen. I remember it was literally, I had just gotten my driver's license, so I always wanted to drive my car, and I was sort of like, hey, Dad, can we take the like 1988 Camry, and he was sort of like, actually, I'm driving some clients around, we're gonna need to take my car. And we went out, and where his car used to be, there was a skid mark.
Oh, no.
He was driving an 88 Infiniti Q45, so it's like a big car, and found out that what it was used for is it was used to break into three pawn shops, twice with the front end and once with the back end.
So yeah.
Drove through the windows. And it had a bike rack on it, and that got ripped off in the first robbery. And the way they found it is one of the guys who had stolen it was driving it down the highway after it had busted through three pawn shops. And so naturally they pulled it over because not a single light was working, and there was stuff from all three pawn shops in it.
Oh, yeah.
So, needless to say, the car was totaled, but props to Infiniti for making a car that will take a licking and keep on ticking. But
well, that's why they steal cars, but, you know, mostly is just to commit other crimes with them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a poor little green truck with a big heart, who you've heard about on the show. That truck has been, or attempted to been, stolen 4 times now, in fact. Poor little truck. Mm-hmm. And they're not very nice to them either, right? I mean, they found it in the middle of a field. They had stolen the tires and the wheels off of it, and the catalytic converter, for if you can believe that. Twice they have stolen the catalytic converter.
Really?
Because they're really expensive. You get they bring big money on the black market.
Apparently, you can also use them to like de-stink meth labs. So.
Oh.
What?
Awesome.
Really?
Uh huh.
Yeah, so that people don't smell that you're cooking it, you can like put it on the vent tube, and it will cook off all the smell, and you know, increase the risk of setting things on fire. So
of
it's
course.
A good thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I did have my car broken into once, but not stolen.
Right.
Yeah, I had a boombox that I used for my stereo.
Yes. Was it hard? Did you plug it into the lighter?
No, I used batteries.
Oh, you used batteries. Okay. And go on. Yes. What happened?
Terrible boombox. It was just really awful. It would make this really loud cranking noise when it played because it was so old.
What did your was it a cassette tape thing
it
player?
Was a cassette tape player, yes.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
How awesome. And when the batteries got down, that would slow down and Chad Atkins would really start to play along slow.
And the tape that I had in there was a band called Poi Dog Pondering, which is a Hawaiian band.
You remember? Sorry, go ahead, Jay.
No, I was just saying, I've actually heard of that band.
They're really good. There's like 15 people in the band. And they actually, they stole the tape player and then it ended up thrown in one of my neighbor's yards.
Really?
Yes. It was so good. I mean, they left my car door open, so the battery went dead.
Aww.
You know, so that was like the worst part of it. The car mm-hmm. was still there, but the battery went dead because they left the door open. And I was like, oh no, my tapes are gone and my tape player is gone. The only thing I had to replace was my Sex Pistols tape. Everything else I found in a neighbor's yard.
It's amazing to me that you remember the tape that was in the player. Like,
well, you know, it's probably the only time that anything like that's ever happened to me. So
right.
That's probably why.
Well, I guess it's kind of good if you can say your most horrifying experience in life was having your boombox stolen.
It's true. It's true.
Hmm.
I'm a lucky person.
Well, that's cute. That's cute that you remember that. Okay, all right. Now, Jay.
Yeah.
You had a question a long time ago about
eons.
Footwork and stuff. Do you want to ask your question?
Well, I just, you know, I've read a lot of, I've basically been reading car magazines since I was in college, which was quite a long time ago. And, but I've never, I have to say, my mind kind of glosses over the mechanical bits. I was more about results and you know, the car itself and things like that. But I always found the heel-to-toeing concept kind of confusing. I never really understood it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Peter, do you want to talk about heel and toe, or should I take it on? Actually, you know what? Let me talk. I'll do part one. You can do part two, Peter.
Okay.
Firstly, let's talk about double clutching, because heel and toe has a component of double clutch to it. So everybody knows what double clutch is, right? It's where you, when you, no, is that a no? Do I hear a scoffing no, Bridget?
No, I do not know.
Oh, you don't know what double clutching is. Okay.
No.
Well, when you have a standard transmission car, you have to shift from gear to gear, right? You shift from first gear and you push in the clutch and you move the lever from first gear to second gear and you let out the clutch and you drive and then you shift again, right? And every shift, you need to push the clutch in so you can move to the next gear, right?
Okay.
Everybody understands that.
Right.
In
principle.
Double clutching is the concept of trying to match the speed that your transmission is going with the speed of your engine. So let's take, for instance, you start in first gear, you let out the clutch and you rev up the engine to the engine, say, to 3,000 RPM, and then you feel, okay, I think I can shift now. You push in the clutch, and you jam it in second gear. what's happening is your engine is running at 3,000 RPM, so the transmission, when it's in first gear, is running at 3,000 RPM too, right? But when you go into second gear, you know, we all know the engine drops down to RPMs, say to 1,500, and then we jam it in second gear and we drive again, right? The tricky part is that when you're shifting from first to second and the transmission is spinning really quickly, it needs to sort of slow down to get the gear, your second gear, into place. Does that make sense to everybody? So when you're in second gear, you only do 1,500 RPMs, but when you're in first gear, you have to do 3,000 RPMs, right? So the act of double clutching is an attempt to sort of slow down the transmission so that you can transition into the next gear more easily. So a lot of the newer transmissions we have do this automatically. We don't even have to think about matching the speed of the transmission to the speed of the engine because they have synchromesh in these things and everything. But not all transmissions are that nicely designed. Peter, I'm going to throw over to you what heel and toe is now. Take it away.
Can I first start out with a little history lesson?
Oh, sure.
All right. When cars first came out, there were no automatics. You pretty much had to double clutch because otherwise you would just grind the gears. So if you ever hear your parents talking about like it being a gigantic pain in the ass to shift their old three on the tree Chrysler, it's probably because of that. Then, kind of around World War II era, what they had were crash boxes. So if you're like watching an old film in London and all the buses make that horrible noise whenever they're shifting, it's because they literally designed their transmissions to synchronize, but very loudly, like it sounded like you were grinding marbles. And then finally they invented synchros, which are basically little rings that rub against each other that are designed to wear. And the reason you want a double clutch if you're in a sports car is just so that you don't wear those out, because they're expensive to replace, and also you can tend to shift a little bit quicker if you just do it that way rather than yanking down on the shifter and letting the synchros do it for you. So the purpose of heel toeing is, if you have a manual transmission car, you have three pedals. So you've got to use your left foot to operate the clutch, and that leaves your right foot to operate both the gas pedal and the brake pedal. And the idea is if you're going into a turn or going in a hill or doing something that requires you to brake and shift at the same time, like let's say you were in fourth gear and you were going around a turn and wanted to be in third or second gear so that you have like the right power band and gear for the next part of the course you're on, you would need to rev up the car, but at the same time you need to slow down the car so that you can like not plummet off the edge of the cliff. So the idea of a heel toe is you press your toe on the brake to slow down the car, but you press your heel on the gas to speed up the engine, which allows you to shift it into second easier. So it's one of those things you have to practice. I always worry that I'm going to break something horribly, so I have done it a few times by accident, just because my cars tend to have the gas and brake very close to each other. But generally, I just have a car with a very close ratio transmission that kind of makes it easy to do the synchros. But yeah, the idea is as you're going around a turn, you're in third gear, you know you'll need to be in second gear by the end of the turn. So while you're slowing down, you're also mashing your heel on the gas to keep the engine up so that you can pull it into second real easily and not the clutch out. So
basically,
it will all be set up.
Basically, you're using your 2 feet to press on all three pedals at the same time.
Yeah. You're using your left foot to operate the clutch, and you're using your right foot to operate the brake pedal and gas.
Exactly.
And really, you're mainly operating the brake pedal, hence the toe, but you're tilting your right foot slightly sideways so that your heel is kind of mashing on the gas as well, because you know you want your car to be revved up, both for dropping it down into a lower gear and so that it will give you a little power boost when you let the clutch out. And
does that answer your question? Haunt
it does, yes, thank you.
So it's basically, you remember that movie My Left Foot with the guy who walked along dragging his foot?
Yes. I never saw it, but I'm familiar with it.
Well, that's what you have to do in your car with your right foot, is you twist your foot really over really hard, and you're stepping on the brake and the gas at the same time, which seems really ridiculous, doesn't it, when you say it out loud?
Moose P from the chat room wants to know if that's more of a high heel, a pump, or a flat.
Yeah,
it has to be go-go boots.
You know, now that's pump something I've never understood. What's the difference between a pump and a flat? I thought a pump was a flat.
No, a pump is a high-heeled shoe, and a flat is a flat shoe.
And isn't it so interesting that Peter answered that question over the resident girl in the room?
I only wear flats. I never wear heels.
Mm-hmm.
I wore heels once in my life.
Was it for a wedding?
That sounds like a story.
It was not even for my... It was for a wedding. It was not for my wedding. When I got married, I wore heads that were embellished. Were embellished with glitter and beads.
What? Were you 12? What? You were wearing keds?
It's her wedding. She can wear the bedazzled keds if she wants to.
Thank you. Exactly. My sister-in-law made them look pretty, so I didn't have to wear heels. Because I'll tell you what, I don't like heels. They're not nice. They're mean.
That is amazing. I love it. Keds. Aren't those kids' shoes, though? Keds?
No.
They're just white tennis shoes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's my Canadian ignorance coming through.
Well, no. Oh. I mean, kids wear keds, too, but... They were comfortable, that's all.
And they were blinged up? Like, tell me about the bling.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. When I got married, I didn't want to be in, like, a beaded dress or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you try dresses on and then all of a sudden you look like a princess, you kind of have to.
Oh, yes, I see.
Yeah, so that happened. So after that happened, my sister-in-law, who's kind of crafty, said, well, I'll, you know, she did, like, little fake pearls and, like, glitter and stuff like that. Not bedazzled, mm-hmm. but just to kind of match the dress that I was wearing.
I see.
It was tasteful, is what you're saying.
It was tasteful glitter and fake pearls. It was also in Omaha, Nebraska in 1998. So give me some slack here.
All you need.
It's your wedding. You can do whatever the hell you want, and everyone will love you.
Exactly. I did not want to wear a dress, but I had to. So there you go. That's the last time I've worn a dress, by the way.
Really?
How long ago was it?
1998.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, well, listen, guys, I guess we've been prattling on here for about an hour. Does anybody have any other questions about heel and toe? Did we explain it sufficiently, or are you just more confused?
No, I thought it was quite well explained.
That's true.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's wind down this show, and I'll give everybody a chance to do a little plug for themselves. Bridget, tell us where we can hear about you.
Well, it's emergency-pants.net is the podcast that Shane and I do. Jamie and I have kind of taken a little bit of a hiatus, so we don't do as much with stitching and junk. But if you want to see the stuff that I've made, you can go to Flickr and search for BEEFRANCK and see all the subversive stitching that I've done as well.
Great, thanks. Laughing Buddha.
You can find me in iTunes. Just search for the Scooter Diaries. I also have a website. It's laughingbuddha.blogspot.com, and that's spelled laughingbuddha.blogspot.com.
Peter.
Yeah, but you can find me at epilonius.net. My professional thing seems to be avoiding doing any type of podcast or blog post, but I occasionally have a hiatus from that and will let a podcast or blog post slip out. Otherwise, I just tend to lurk on the internet on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and all that. So.
And Jay?
I don't have a podcast or a website, so you can find me as Haunt Cub on Twitter or Google Plus.
And, of course, I am the Faye Driver. This is the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage Show. I got a couple of emails from people. I want to say thanks to those of you who've written in about our first ever garage show, which I posted. I know it's too late now, but it was like this episode was very likely an enhanced podcast with pictures in it. So you can see the pictures of the cars we were talking about. You can always go over to the Pink Wheel Nuts website at www.pinkwheelnuts.com. And we will be back again next week for another episode of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. I'm going to end the show now, and I'll just drop the stream for a minute, but we'll come back. So if people are in the chat room, you can stay there. I'll join us back to the stream and we'll say our goodbyes and things to the guests. So here's the ending music.